Today on the Travel Guys.
In the travel news, we update the situation with Southwest and the grounded MAX 8 aircraft and tell you how to look past the bright lights for the loss of a benefit on your American Airlines credit card.
And to make you a smarter traveler at 3:20, we team up with Chris Elliott to talk about vacation rentals. What are the things to watch out for along the rental path?
If you think someone is watching you in your rental car, you might be right, especially if you rented from Thrifty. And a new term has entered our travel dictionary. Now you can be bonvoyed. What is bonvoyed and how do you keep it from happening to you? Coming up at 3:35.
And at 3:50, the lovely Gwen Duncan joins us in studio to share some fun information. Say you're on a foreign, you're in a foreign airport and you have a really long layover. What if there was a free tour of the city that you could take to kill the time? Sound interesting? Well, Gwen will join us with more information at 3:50.
Super secret. Gwen is actually already here. It just might be the nicest day of the year outside. It's St. Patrick's Day. Downtown is buzzing. The Kings are playing. It's Sunday in Sacramento. And we are most pleased you are spending part of it with the Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
I've got two tickets to paradise.
North to Alaska. I go north to Russia's own.
All I want one man and man.
I come from a la-la-la-la. I bless the rains down in Africa.
Get your kicks.
Well, for heaven's sakes, luck of the Irish, be with ye. Here we are. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Mark Hoffman, Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for taking a little bit of time out of your day, whatever you might be up to. We're here to make you a smarter traveler and entertain you along the way. Mark, it's been a week since I saw you. Last time you and I talked, you were, I think, sitting in a ballpark checking out a Giants game or something like that.
Huh? Do you know, yes, and on Monday at the end of our little excursion to spring training, we watched the Giants and the Dodgers in the Dodgers Park, I might add.
Okay.
Down at Camelback Ranch in the town of Glendale, which is a Phoenix suburb, and the Giants in the ninth inning rallied and beat the Dodgers, and it led me to the realization that there is a beautiful sound that occurs in baseball in a situation such as what we experienced. It might be one of the most beautiful sounds I've ever heard in sports. It's the sound of an entire stadium of Dodger fans going completely quiet when the Giants have scored three runs in the ninth inning in a game that doesn't count, I might add.
Wow.
But it mattered to us.
Silenced the crowd, they did.
Those of us who paid $32 to sit and watch the game that didn't count and drink the $9 beers.
only $9.
Yeah, only $9 at spring training. At some ballparks, it's a little more at others.
Glass.
Yeah, that's the sampler. But there are more drunk people per capita in downtown Sacramento this weekend than I've seen in a long today there's a zillion people down there. Last night was down for a show at the community center. This place is just overflowing with people. Some of those people started drinking on Saturday and
maybe Friday. Yeah, you know, and when St. Patrick's Day comes along, and I mean, stretch it out for 3 days is no big deal.
I remember a previous mayor of Sacramento, who I didn't agree with on everything politically, but I remember him saying one time, you know, he went up north for a couple of days and he came back home and he said, you know, what Portland has done with their downtown, with all of it becoming just a hub of activity and commerce and everything going on with restaurants and stuff, we could do that in Sacramento. Besides, we have a lot better weather.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was down there last night, I was thinking to myself, my goodness, the man's vision has become a reality, because indeed there are thousands of people in downtown Sacramento where there would have been none.
to speak of.
What particular area were you in? Did you get down to the Doko by the arena itself?
We did not. We were at 17th and in the 17th Street garage, and then walked down as far as the Crest Theater.
There you go. Oh, boy, I tell you, every corner, you try it on a Friday or a Saturday night.
Well, and don't think you're going to get downtown, and in 3 minutes, you're going to get to your favorite parking spot and be ready to go, because the streets are full of people. And
pretty much.
Some of them can stand up, and some of them were having a little challenge. With all of that. But anyway, it's nice to see in our city all of this activity and all this stuff just going on. It's just good to see commerce downtown, because it hasn't always been that way.
For sure, for sure. And you know, as a Kings fan, I wore my Kings jersey and dropped my wife and mother-in-law off to go see Kings beat Chicago today.
You came in to do the travel guys, even though you had a ticket to the Kings game.
Yeah. My wife had taken her mom, but that's my devotion to the to. But what I was going to say is, you wore, instead of green, you wore Kings purple today.
Well, you know, I mean, it's...
Thank you. Just as a Kings fan.
We're fighting for a playoff spot here. And last time Kings were in the playoff, playoffs, I think...
you were 12.
The Romans were in charge on the planet, so it's been a while.
All right, we got a fun show ahead. Lots of stuff going on. And as always, at the top of the Travel Guys radio program, we bring you up to date on the travel news. Mark?
Well, did you hear about the Saudi Arabian Airlines jet that was forced to turn around after a passenger realized her baby wasn't on it?
No, that's why it's called the travel
Saudi
news.
Saudi Arabia to Malaysia, and the pilot made this bizarre request to return to the airport, and he says, "Can we come back? This is the passenger forgot her baby in the waiting area."
Oh my!
And so they got back, and the baby was indeed in the waiting area. The gate agents had found it, and so they had to go back. I mentioned this to my buddy Chris Galloway, who often reports for us here, and he told me a story about how his dad left him in a car seat in a Burger King on a family vacation. They were 15 minutes down the road before they realized that they had left him behind. And he ended his note with, said, "Gee, I wonder why I have issues." American Airlines has, they sent, look at this. I made an extra copy of this, Tom, so you could see the front page of this. Look at here.
Okay.
Coming soon. Look at this. Look, see how they've.
Coming soon.
Coming
beginning
soon.
On
and
May
they're listing
1st.
All the great benefits on your, look at that there, all the benefit, the new benefits that are coming to your American Airlines credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And which is mostly a bunch of things that are not really worthwhile. There's this thing called Flight Sense, which I tried to figure out, where you round up your purchases and get extra miles, and you can tell them how much you want to round up your purchase. It sounds sketchy, to say the least. And when you get it on your anniversary, you get a $25 Wi-Fi credit once a year. What they conveniently forgot to tell you is that there previously was a benefit on your American Airlines credit card where you got 10% of your points back if you redeemed a ticket. So let's say that you redeemed a 50,000-mile domestic ticket. They would deposit 5,000 miles back in your account. Well, you know, 5,000 miles is a pretty big chunk of miles. If you saw it laying on the sidewalk, you'd pick it up. So the benefit of the extra, the 10% has gone away. It's barely mentioned here in the public relations efforts on the front page. You'd think that, my goodness, your American Airlines credit card has picked up a whole bunch of new benefits and everything, except when you start reading that, you see that other than the $25 Wi-Fi credit, none of it is probably worth anything. And the reality is that they have taken away a benefit that a good benefit if you held the credit card that got you 10% of your miles back. So the moral to the story is that when you get a notice from your credit card company telling you, or your hotel frequent guest program telling you, look at all the new benefits, be sure to read the fine print, because what they've done is they've done a devaluation or something, and they've thrown some benefits at you to try to make it look like that you're getting something more than what they're taking away from you. Yes, you're seeing that. Yes, the companion certificate, American now has gone, like some other carriers, have gone to a companion certificate once a year. So for $99 plus all of the taxes that are involved, then you can get a companion certificate for, yes, like what Alaska is doing. All right, let's see here. Southwest Airlines, we are waiting for them to announce the flights to Hawaii from Sacramento and have been waiting for several months, and we will be waiting a few more weeks because until they fix those airplanes, there will be no announcement on when they know that those planes are going back in the sky.
Yeah, wasn't the MAX 8 specifically the plane that was going to be flying to Hawaii? Or was there also the, what is it, just the 737-800s?
Yes, yes. You are right on both accounts. The first, by the way, Southwest flight to Hawaii took off this morning from Oakland, landed a couple hours ago. So Southwest Airlines is officially serving Hawaii, but they are holding off on any more announcements because if you've listened to the travel guys, you know Southwest has two problems right now. They have not only this whole MAX 8 thing, which has taken roughly about 4% of their planes out of circulation, but because the mechanics still don't have a contract and they're playing everything by the write-up rules, the mechanics are taking another dozen and a half, two dozen planes out of service every day for minuscule technical things that they can take out of service. So it's basically a work slowdown. And so that is complicating Southwest's problem. And I thought a little bit later on in the show, Tom, that we would talk a little bit about. You've had an experience with a Southwest ticket this week. I have had an experience that was after. Yours was before the MAX 8 was grounded. Mine was after. And I think that people can probably glean some things from what has already happened to us. So we will talk about that a little bit later on in the program. But for now, Southwest is holding off on additional announcements of flights to Hawaii. The original flights from Oakland have taken off. And so they are beginning to serve Hawaii. So those flights from Sacramento are likely to be announced as soon as we know when the MAX 8 aircraft are going back in the sky. Boeing is saying 2 to 3 weeks. So Southwest right now is only moving people out 2 weeks. Again, we'll talk about that some more after the news at the bottom of the hour. News in the Sacramento Bee this week, Michelin got a big, you know, the people that review restaurants, they got a big subsidy to expand in California, and it came from the California Tourism Office.
Wow.
And people would say, well, you know, that looks a little shaky. But listen, if you wanted the people who review restaurants to review more restaurants in your state, then you might go to them and say, what would get you to post more reviews? You don't have control over what the reviews might be, but you, what you want is more reviews. And the company said, well, you know, we don't have really a base in California and there's a lot of expense involved. And so California said, well, what if we kind of underwrote part of that expense? I'm simplifying things here a little bit, but nonetheless, so there will be more reviews from Michelin. I thought that was kind of interesting. Sacramento, travelers, Sacramento flyers, be on the lookout. Spirit Airlines is finally coming to Sacramento with three flights to Las Vegas a day. They are going to start on June the 20th. We'll talk more about this later. But listen, here's what's going to happen. Spirit is going to cause the fares on Southwest Airlines, who is the competitor to Las Vegas, to go down some. Buy your ticket from Southwest. Don't buy your ticket from Spirit Airlines. If you are a regular traveler, you already know this. But people who travel with any regularity and have ever tried Spirit or its sister airline Frontier probably have a horror story about getting stuck somewhere and not being able to get home when they expected to. So these are not carriers that happen to fly regular schedules all the time. And if you're flying on Spirit to connect to something, then that could be an issue also. Because maybe your connecting plane isn't moving that day, and maybe the next connecting flight isn't for a couple of days. So anyways, I recommend that you use the appearance of Spirit Airlines in town to get a cheaper ticket to Las Vegas on Southwest, and that you not be lured in by what will probably be, my guess is, $19 fares. They could even be $9 fares. But then all the fees have to be added, and you don't get a seat assignment, and a lot of things have to be added on top of that. So
the way you put the word seat and assignment a long ways apart.
When we get closer,
when we get closer to
their startup on the 20th of June, we'll do a cost analysis here on the Travel Guys and show you how buying a ticket on Southwest will cost you about the same as buying a ticket on Spirit. And you'll have a little bit more dependability. Okay, now you can ship some items that are banned by the TSA at some airports are setting up systems where you can do a low cost. You know how you get to security, you've got that item and it's like, oh man, I paid $12 for this. I hate to throw it away, but it's going to cost me probably $12 to ship it, and I have to go back and come back, and so forget it, just take it, I'm out the item. Now, what is happening at some airports is that TSA has mailer envelopes now that are pre-postage. You can purchase them, and so if you had something that was of value, you could throw it in a mailer and not have to lose your place in line. It is being done at the Reno Airport, San Francisco, San Jose. There's a list of about 20 airports around the country. Sacramento is not on it yet, but let's hope that it will be coming soon. And that way, if you forget something, you'll have a chance to recover at security. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys. It has been announced that Hugh Jackman is coming back to Broadway next year to star in The Music Man. He's going to play Horace Hill, the gentleman who is the Music Man. And of course, there's a line in that show about it being in River City. So it's kind of has that Sacramento sort of tie, River City, Iowa, which is a make-believe place. But since Sacramento is known as River City, the previews begin in September of 2020, and the performances begin in October of next year. If you're headed to Hawaii on a cheap ticket soon, be sure you know that Pearl Harbor Monument, which was supposed to reopen this month in the USS Arizona part of the monument, has not opened yet, and the National Park Service says there is no time posted now for the opening. And that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys. Follow along at TravelGuysRadio.com. Chris Elliott joins us. We're going to talk about vacation rentals next on the Travel Guys. It's the Travel Guys, Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, always at TravelGuysRadio.com. And every Sunday, 3 to 4 here at KFBK. Again, we bring back someone to help us make you a smarter traveler, and that is Chris Elliott with Elliott.org, consumer advocate persona. Mark, what are we going to talk about?
Well, Tom, vacation rentals are so popular now. Airbnb, and not everybody's staying in a hotel anymore. A greater percentage of people, when they go on the road or go on vacation, are choosing to stay in someone else's house. Personally, I'm a hotel guy. I don't want to be in with somebody else's stuff, but it's a huge trend, and there are goods and bads. And as this whole concept of staying in somebody else's house matures and the sharing economy, besides Airbnb, there are other companies who have stepped up to do this. But now we're starting to see in the vacation rental business the same kinds of stuff that we see in the hotel industry and some other places in the travel industry, which is get out the nickels and the dimes and let's see how we can nickel and dime people to death. So let's go to our buddy Chris Elliott and talk to him a little bit about this. Chris, as I read what you wrote about a $300 surcharge for air conditioning at a vacation home in Hawaii, was this a personal experience?
Yeah, this happened to me. I was shocked. This happened on the Big Island of Hawaii in October. I checked in, and it was really, really hot because it's a big island. And so I texted the owner, and I said, where's your air conditioner? And she said, I don't have one. I found one. It was a wall unit, but it had a lock on it.
Oh,
so
boy.
I said, where's the key for this? And she said, I'm not going to unlock it unless you pay me an extra $300.
Oh, boy.
$300?
Well, you know, it's one thing if they had told you ahead of time, but, just to get there and find out.
And so you decided not to pay it?
No, I didn't pay it. I refused. On principle, I refused. And, you know, most of the homes on the Big Island don't have air conditioning. You just open the windows and let a breeze in. But they didn't tell me about the fact that this air conditioning wasn't available and wasn't included, and that it would have been nice to know that. We ended up leaving the windows open, and it was okay for maybe half the time, and the rest of the time we tried to get out and, you know, go hiking or do something outside. But it was still, you know, not the most comfortable stay, and it made me wonder, what else are they charging people for? And I was kind of surprised by what I found out.
Are you, please share, what kind of trends are you seeing in the vacation rental in terms of surcharges and extra things that might catch people by surprise?
Just generally speaking, now both Airbnb and HomeAway, VRBO, have mechanisms, have little settings on their website where if you are a host or an owner, you can add essentially a resort fee. It's an extra charge that's just there. And, you know, we've talked about hotel resort fees, how you get quoted one rate and then you end up paying a much higher rate because they add these daily resort fees. And so the vacation rental companies are doing exactly the same thing now. They're adding these resort fees and you have to pay them. You have no choice.
I'm guessing your situation with the air conditioner was kind of a one-off thing of finding that out on site. A resort fee or any kind of a fee would have to be disclosed to the buyer ahead of time, right?
Yeah, usually it does. And it's unusual for you to have some of the fees I found were just, I got to tell you, ridiculous. A fee for electricity. I found one that where there was a fee for heating the pool, and I didn't even publish that one. So if you wanted to have the pool heated, that they would charge you an extra $300. I mean, cleaning fees are another big one where those are not always disclosed. And I remember renting a vacation home. It was actually an apartment in Los Angeles in February, and it was not through one of the big services like VRBO or HomeAway. And I asked the host what the rate was, and she gave it to me. I said, does that include everything? She said, yes. And so I got ready to pay, and then she added another $350. She said, that's a cleaning fee. And I go, that's an extra fee. And she goes, no, a cleaning fee is not an extra fee. It's a cleaning fee. And I go, oh, my goodness, you've got to be kidding me. But I had already made a decision to book. And see, that's the thing about all these fees is that even if they're disclosed at the very end when you decide to put in your credit card, you've already made the decision to book, and they know that. And that's what I consider an unfair and deceptive practice.
Taking it one step further, what do you suggest for folks who are Airbnb, VRBO fans, HomeAway? How can they protect themselves?
Well, first of all, if you're booking through one of these sites, you need to pay attention to the grand total, which is something that they give you either on the first or second screen. Don't pay attention to the average daily rate. That's nonsense, and it means nothing. Pay attention to the actual price that you're getting at the very bottom of the screen. Usually it's rendered in very small print, too, which I find extremely frustrating. Ultimately, the solution is going to be either regulatory or legislative. Australia has set a really great example. They have an all-in price law, it's technically a regulation. So if you get a quote for an airfare or a hotel room or a vacation rental, it has to include everything. Otherwise, it's illegal, and you could get yourself into trouble for it. Our Federal Trade Commission could do something like that, but it refuses to.
Chris, and when you book these vacation resorts and such, do you recommend that people use a particular kind of a card to do so for any kind of protection moving forward?
You know, I'm not really a credit card guy. I mean, I think that you should use a credit card to protect you, but I'm not into all those points and miles that your other guests are. But I think that having a credit card from a reputable bank that has a good dispute resolution department is important. Because if you run into a surprise fee that they charge you, you should initiate a credit card dispute or what's called a chargeback under the Fair Credit Billing Act, and that you could get some or all of your money back. Just to tell you what happened with my rental, after I checked out, I called the vacation rental company, and it wasn't one of the major companies. This is the one in Hawaii that was charging me $300, and they actually were extremely apologetic, and they refunded me their commission, so it came to about $300, which was great. I liked having a little bit of money back by way of apology, and of course, I'll never rent from that person again.
Chris Elliott is the founder of Elliott Advocacy, a nonprofit organization that empowers consumers to solve their problems and helps those who can't. So if you are a consumer with a problem that you can't solve, or you have a problem and you're looking for solutions, on Chris's website, you can find all kinds of valuable information. Basically, they will walk you through how to make your complaint, how to be heard, and how to handle it in a way that where you will be most likely to get a response. Elliott.org is the website. Chris, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks. I had a lot of fun, guys.
Thank you very much. Chris Elliott.
If you F plan to motor west.
We are the travel and entertainment guys. A happy St. Patrick's Day to you. To Gwen, Mark, do either one of you have any St. Patrick's traditions of any sort?
Of any sort? No.
You know,
not a
green
single
beer,
one.
A green cookie or something?
Going to an A's game? Nothing that... Nothing, but a lot, as I mentioned earlier in the program, a lot of people in Sacramento, definitely, there was more than one green beer that was consumed in downtown Sacramento
well,
since
know,
Friday
most
night.
Everybody has a little Irish in them, you know.
And that's true.
Oh, I do. One-sixth.
One-sixth. Huh? Which part?
Oh, I don't know.
Gwen Duncan is here with us, and she's actually has some important stuff to talk about in a little bit, but... Right now, I wanted to share a couple things with you. Chris Elliott, we just had Chris on as a guest. He has a great website, elliott.org. And one of his, Michelle Couch Friedman, who is one of his consumer advocate people who handles cases that come into the site, was took a case about thrifty rental car. I mentioned this in the headlines. You have to, and Gwen, maybe you've run into this somewhere, you have to really dig down deep, Tom, into this to find it out. But, you know, you rent a rental car, and other than taking it to Canada or Mexico or on a dirt road, you're kind of assuming that you can take it pretty much anywhere in the continental United States, you know, not so much. A thrifty rental car in the Midwest has a little clause put into their cars that says, well, you can only drive it to a state that touches. For example, this person rented a car in Missouri. So the only states that were authorized were states that touched Missouri. So this person took a little road trip, and as soon as the car left the authorized geographic area, the GPS began sending signals to Thrifty Rent-A-Car that the car was outside their area, so the car knew. So the guy got back, and he turns his car in. He thinks everything is fine. He gets hit with a couple $100 bill because he took the car outside of the authorized area. Of course, he had no idea that there was an authorized and unauthorized area, nor did he have any idea that the rental car company knew exactly where he was the whole time that he was in the rental car. So I guess there's a couple things about this. One is, how do you feel about the rental car company having the ability to track where you are at all times?
It's their car. I think they have the right to know where their cars are going. And you know, as a car, somebody who rents, that would not concern
well,
me.
Well, then there would be a record of where that car went. There would be somewhere, there'd be a record of it. So if you got in, let's pretend for a minute that you were flying to St. Louis because you were cheating on your wife, and that's where your husband, and that's where your, you know, hookup was.
Right.
So you go fly to St. Louis and you rent a car and you drive someplace, now there's a record of exactly where you drove. So if
I would do what you would do, and that would be use an Uber.
But if there
or
was
what you
a,
did, I don't really
if there was that. A divorce proceeding or you got in some legal trouble or something happened someday where your trip was connected to something that was not above board.
Don't rent.
Does it bother you, Gwen, that a rental car company would know exactly? I mean, Tom's point is valid.
Well, he's got a valid point. I remember when we went to Hawaii one time, and there's a section of the Big Island that they say you can't go.
Right, COVID. Right.
Okay, but we did.
Way to go.
We did.
Why am I not
surprised? We wanted to go all the way around. This, we would have gotten in trouble for doing that. And that's kind of...
You sure would have, because they would have known that you did that. So if you came back and you said... they said, well, here's an extra charge because you did this. And, of course, you lied about it and said, well, that's just not true. We didn't do that. And they would say, well, let's look at the tape. And, yes, you did. And here's the time that you did it. And here's exactly where you went and how far you went and how fast you were. I mean, you know, it's just Big Brother has definitely arrived when it comes to the
I think as long as it's, as long as it's disclosed, you know, that you have GPS, they're tracking the automobile.
Yeah, well, you didn't. I mean, this guy didn't. Not only did he not know that he was going to get dinged if he went outside of this 8 or 10 state area, which admittedly is a pretty wide swath of the country. But if you've been renting cars, it used to be in the old days, you rented a car and you got 100 miles a day or 200 miles a day. And then there was a charge after that. So you had to be careful where you went and how far you drove and all that kind of jazz. Anyway, to our previous story about vacation rentals. The mayor's office in New York City is suing a firm for running a $20 million illegal short-term rental operation. They took an entire building and were doing short-term rentals. And the person who writes this story points out that someone willing to break the law, the hosts, who are not complying with all of the rules of licensing in the city and what the city's rules are. Yeah, exactly. Collecting taxes and stuff. Never mind the vacation rentals rules about things like fire alarms and stuff like that. So if someone is breaking the law, they're not always inclined to follow things like safety rules because, after all, they're already breaking the law. So they often ask their guests to lie to tenants in the building and say, well, they're a relative of the person involved or something like that. So it's this is a real problem in New York City.
Yeah,
it's becoming a problem in Silicon Valley because rents are so high. It is advantageous to buy a property and turn it into a rental property. And of course, the cities are trying desperately to stop this because all that does is exasperate the situation and they lose tax money.
Yeah.
When somebody is, this guy had 250, this company had 250 listings with 101 host accounts using various fake identities. So the other point of this is that if you're going to use a vacation rental, you might want to make sure that the person that you're renting it from is legit. You know, when I go to the Hilton Hotel that I can see across the way here, it's been there for a long time. It's had Hilton on the side of it for a while. Just saying. Might be something to consider.
Well, it's a lot more difficult when people are Airbnb-ing or whatever, renting from private individuals.
Well, and now there's a lot more companies that are doing this, HomeAway and vacation rental home.
Well, the local governments too are keeping an eye out on like Facebook and all these.
Well,
things
if to
find
you don't,
out what's out there.
If you don't think that hotel taxes are not huge revenue for municipalities, then you're thinking wrong.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because those taxes were created years ago in order to create money for tourism. That's the reason hotel taxes came about, was to create money to promote tourism, to promote destinations. Then city fathers in various places found out that, well, they could get into those that money and use it for general fund purposes. And now tourism entities have had to have surcharges built in of $1 a day or half a percent or something in order to support tourism, because all the money that was originally supposed to support tourism, and those taxes are much higher than they initially were, it's not uncommon to go into a big city now and pay 12 to 15% hotel tax. No problem at all. New York, it's going to add up to about 18 or 19%.
You know, it's supposed to go into roads, and it doesn't go into anything.
Well, like it's whether or not, but I'm just saying to you that if a municipality starts, you get a bunch of people renting private homes, and they can't get the money, the tax money that they're supposed to get, we're all paying for that.
Yeah.
At the end of the day. So these guys who are cheating the government, they're actually cheating us also. Okay, yes. I have one more thing here in my rant, as you can probably tell.
It has turned into that, hasn't it? By the way, it's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, Gwen Duncan on the side there. We are the travel guys. Go ahead, Mark.
Marriott Hotel. Those of you who are Marriott or Starwood members know that they
Bonvoyed.
Bought Starwood, and they Bonvoyed all of their customers. They created a new program called Bonvoy, and everybody is in it. And for some people, it hasn't gone well. Some people have had situations where reservations have not been there when they showed up. A points reservation, points have been taken out of their account twice. Their account has completely disappeared. There's all kinds of bad stories. There are stories from Marriott employees who said this program wasn't quite ready to be rolled out, but Marriott rolled it out anyway, and that's why they're having these glitches and problems with it. So they also weren't real careful about, usually when you do something like this, you have people who you pay a lot of money to go in and buy up all of the websites that might be variations of what you have. In this case, Marriott didn't do their homework, and Bonvoy is the name of the program, and the word, or not so word, Bonvoyed, was not sucked up by Marriott. So somebody now has created Bonvoy.com. It's kind of like the old United site, Gwen, Untied, that they had for years. So people now can go and piss and moan about Marriott at Bonvoy and say how they've been Bonvoyed by the Marriott program. So, and the stories are kind of interesting. It's Bonvoy.com. So you can go there, or you can go to Travel Guys Radio, and we have a link to it there. But nonetheless, things are not going quite as smoothly for Marriott as they had hoped
that they would go with their brand new program.
Great.
Well, it's only because it's have only, you had any problems with yours?
It's only because you and I are now linked together here in sort of me as a Starwoods and you as a Marriott.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no problems yet, but I at the same time I have not actually had a chance to book and use it. That's coming up. All I know is there's a lot of emails and a lot of stuff and a lot of offers and just more confusion than there ever was before.
There is a claim that Hilton has picked up a sizable number of disgruntled Marriott. I haven't been able to, couldn't find any place where that was confirmed in writing anywhere. So we'll see if we can find out a little bit more about that. But I personally have not noticed any problems. You know, you were an old Starwood guy. I'm an old Marriott guy. So if you have been Bonvoyed or you have, if you've just had nothing but good experiences, next week we're going to dig into the mailbag, answer some of your travel questions. If you've got something that has happened to you, good or bad, with the new Marriott program, go to travelguysradio.com. There's a spot there on the home page where it says leave a reply. You can leave a comment. And maybe we will talk about it next week on the radio. All right. We've been talking with Glenn Duncan here, who is in the studio. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back. Glenn is going to tell us about some cities where if you have a long layover, you might be able to get a free tour to kill some of that time. And we're also going to talk a little bit about a type of travel insurance that's available to people on cruise lines. Next on The Travel Guys.
Put on my blue suede shoes and I boarded the plane.
Here we are again. It's Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations, here to make you a smarter traveler. And remember now, you can go to travelguysradio.com and check out all that we talk about and much more right there on our website.
I wanted to hear the rest of that song.
I know. That's why I was kind of waiting. But, you know, I mean, I'll tell you what, I'll get you a copy. You can listen after the show. Gwen Duncan, welcome again to the Travel and Entertainment Guys. How's everything there at Cordially Yours?
Very good, very good. And it sure is nice to have great weather now, huh?
Yes.
Yay,
at least
days
for a
in
few
a row,
days,
yeah.
I know.
Me in a sweatshirt and 75-degree weather.
Well, that's
pretty stupid.
It's like going to a baseball game at Candlestick Park. You know, you can hardly believe that the weather has gotten better. So you wear the T-shirt and in the winter coat because you can't believe that it's actually 70 degrees outside.
Yeah, and then you start sweating. Well, I'm here today. We're going to be talking about free stopovers.
Free stopovers. So you go to a city and you say, oh my God, I've got a 7-hour layover. There's just no way to avoid it. You're stuck in, it's not enough time to go get a hotel room, but it's too much time to sit in the airport, and you have a little bit of a remedy for that.
Yes, I do. You know, I've had clients ask me, they have got seven or 8 hours, and they say, can you squeeze in a tour somewhere for me? Some airports don't have them, but we're going to be putting on your website a list of some really good ones that have some prerequisites. You have to have a stopover of 5 hours or more on most of these, but they offer free opportunities while you're there. And I've got the list. It's from thriftynomads.com, but I'm only going to mention a couple of them. Singapore, that's a long flight from San Francisco to Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
And I know when we did ours, it was like 19 hours. And then
people are connecting from there.
Yeah, and you connect. Obviously, yeah, you do connect from there to go to Bali or Thailand or whatever. And it is a good idea to plan a stopover so that you can like kind of get rejuvenated or whatever. Mm-hmm. Some of them will allow you to stay for a couple of days on your stopover. And so it's something to really look at to get through the jet lag. But anyway, Singapore, I'm going to miss just a couple. Singapore airport has movies and gardens and stuff, and these are all free. And on the website that you're going to see, it lists a couple of the tours organized and exactly where you go at the airport. It might be next to the Starbucks or something. They tell you exactly how to get there. If it's going to cost anything, the only thing it could cost you is maybe if you have to pay for transportation to get to one of these start
to where
points.
The tour is leading from.
But very few of them. But anyway, Singapore has a lot of really, really neat things. You can go to museums and like that. They've got shopping and all that. But if you make a $10 purchase at the airport, then you can get a free chance to go on this giant slide. It's a big attraction there. But that's all free. So that's Singapore, and you'll want to maybe plan your layover. You can do that.
So now this is if you're
in transit.
You're talking about it, people who are in transit who are connecting to another flight.
Yes.
You've got a long layover. In general, 5.5-6 hours is what this airport requires.
Yeah, this airport.
So you've got one here in Tokyo, in Asia.
Yeah, now Tokyo, Narita, they've got like 8 tours that you can take. They tell you exactly where to go to get signed up. It's free. They have museum tours. They've got shopping. They've got all kinds of different things, foodie type tours and all that. And they also tell you that you have to have a minimum of 5 hours of a layover there. And it's really a great thing because you can book your tours online before you go. And I'm going to give you a couple of lists here of things when you're planning on doing a stopover, especially in one of these cities. There are some things you must have on your body.
Okay.
Go ahead. You must have.
Yeah, things you must have. You must have your passport with you, and it must be able to not be expired within 6 months of when you're there. Since you're in transit, you don't have to have a visa, with the exception of Istanbul. That's one of the ones you're going to be able to look at. They recommend that you take food with you because some of the tours can be 5 hours long. Plan for your luggage, but some of the tours will allow you to take luggage, and you can find this all online. And then also, you want to find out the exact time that they start and when they end so you don't miss your flight.
With that being said, at this point, and something we've talked a lot about, not getting too far from the airport or your gate, because what if they change the flight? Now, on these long stopovers where you're going to have 5 or 6 hours, is it pretty common for it to always be that?
Because they're not going to change the schedule. You're talking about a flight that would be perhaps delayed.
Right.
And then they would say, you know, we're delayed for 3 hours because of air traffic control. Whoops, no, we're only delayed an hour.
Yeah.
For air traffic control.
So they're not going to take you away from the airport and then, you know, miss your plane.
We're talking about something where you know you have a set layover time, not something that comes up on you suddenly. So this is something that, in essence, you could plan for in advance.
Got it.
And Gwen, you had one more here. We're running up against the clock. You had one in that was a domestic one here.
Oh, a domestic one, Salt Lake City.
In Salt Lake City, where the LDS Church has arranged for a tour of Temple Square. Tell us what you know about that one.
Well, on that one, you have to have the layover has to be at least 2 hours. And they will pick you up between Terminal 1 and 2, and they've got exact times. It's between 11 and 4, so you've got to see if that works within your layover time.
And, of course, the airport in Salt Lake City is very close.
Oh, yeah. Yes. I didn't get a chance to mention Seoul, Korea. It's a chance to go to the DMZ zone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I think that's pretty good.
So all of these are listed. Now, normally we would tell people that we have a list of all these at travelguysradio.com, but we discovered before the show that we don't, and we don't have a way to put it up until later. So we will post it tomorrow, the list of all of the free stopover tours. Gwen, I wanted to talk to you. We have about 2 minutes here.
Okay.
We were going to talk briefly about cruise insurance.
Yes.
And about some of these cancel fire for any reason and some of that stuff here. Can you...
I'll do it
fill
as quickly as I can. The two that you asked me to look up were Safe Cruise and Wave Care. And both of those are brand new. One of them is with Berkshire Hathaway. And what I found is the price of those run about the same as any of the other insurance policies that you can find. Mm-hmm. But these would only cover your cruise. It doesn't cover your air, any pre and post hotels or anything. It just covers your cruise.
Go ahead.
And if you had one of these, and I didn't remember which one, will give you a flat fee of $500 if you had a mechanical problem with the cruise. Remember how we've seen that on the news?
And that's in addition to whatever the cruise line does.
Yeah.
So if the cruise line gives you a voucher for a free cruise or something like that, this is something you get on top of that.
Right. The advantage of this is that they will give you cash. Where the cruise line's insurance, and I highly recommend people look at third party the cruise line insurance is only a voucher.
The reality is that cancel for any reason oftentimes will get you a voucher. A complaint with a cruise line oftentimes will get you a voucher for a future cruise, which sometimes is not what you want because you may have decided that you're not going to do business
That's
with them
right.
again.
So
getting cash out of a cruise line for a cancellation is difficult.
It's difficult unless it's for a covered reason.
Gwen,
you know, like you're sick or something.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple of weeks back here on the Travel Guys. Mr. Thomas, you and I next week are going to do a mailbag program.
All right, mailbag. Oop, turn the microphone on. Mailbag time next week. Again, visit travelguysradio.com. Right there, you can drop us a note.
You can, and we will answer as many of them as we can on the air, and I'll answer as many of them as I can personally. We'll see you next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Remember to dance like nobody's watching.
All right. Stay well, my friends. See you next time.